Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Now, folks, I've got a lot of construction going on in the place where I'm recording today, and there isn't anything I can do about it. So I hope the background noises, I hope they're filtered out. But if they're not, I trust we'll bear through it, and we'll be okay. Happy birthday, Lady Liberty. Turned 125 years old this week. Dedicated October 28, 1886. Well, folks, Zachary, my son, is out of Tillman for a few days' retreat. He'll have at least 3 days' respite from the daily bombardment, and I thank you for praying for our boy. I understand that Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, compliments of the blood, sweat, and tears of the U.S. soldier, their families and friends, and taxpayers who've supported them, will side with Pakistan if it comes down to war between us. I say taxpayers as opposed to the tax takers, many of whom don't support our troops or our efforts to establish liberty. Anyway, we know that Pakistanis have harbored Osama. We know that they are either directly or indirectly participating in the attacks against our boys over there on the border. It makes me understand why some of our soldiers are discouraged by the whole business and say either drop the nuke and fumigate the entire desert of these sand roaches or just get us out of here. But thankfully, cooler heads hold the leash of the dogs of war, at least at present. You caught the news. We are pulling out of Libya. Wow, that was fast work. Our work is done there because Gaddafi's dead, his sons are dead, and all is well, right? Huh, that's interesting. We went into Iraq, what was that, 10 years ago, 2003, I think it was. And we are only just now pulling out, and many say prematurely. But we went in and out of Libya in what, a year? Now, is this owing to the stellar performance of our commander-in-chief, President-elect Obama? Yes, I still say alleged. You've noticed that almost everyone else is tired of the birth certificate issue. Well, it's not over. Till it's over. In April, under pressure from all sides, Obama relented and released what he claimed, or is claiming, is his long-form birth certificate. Since then, more than 20 computer and imaging experts have gone on record and demonstrated anomalies in that document. And to date, not one forensic expert has stepped forward to vouch for the document's validity, end quote. Now, he's not a natural-born citizen. It's as simple as that. He's not qualified to be the president. But the present powers that be are not willing to press the issue for reasons that range from a presumption that it's a non-starter issue all the way to belief that the Constitution is passé and that this is one of the many, in their view, archaic provisions that is not up to the times, you know, one world government and all that. Well, anyway, pay attention to what's going on, folks. Our president waffled in his support of the uprising against Mubarak. Remember that? But then all of a sudden, he became committed. It seemed inexplicable to me. One minute he was waffling, hesitating, then suddenly he became clear on his position and declared that Mubarak had to go. Same thing with Gaddafi, you might remember. He watched, waited, equivocated. Some say he might have been deliberating, but why say anything at all then? See, he would say one thing and then turn around and say something else. That's what I'm taking issue with. And then suddenly he becomes clear on the side of the uprising against Gaddafi. Now, even Gaddafi was surprised and hurt that his fellow dictator in heart would turn on him. So Obama sends in the troops, in drones, air support. But don't make any mistake, there were boots on the ground there as well. And he did it illegally. That's right, violated the War Powers Act. And yet faced only tepid resistance, more like a show of resistance than any real effort to hold this president accountable to the Constitution. They, and he supposedly, swore to uphold. So anyway, he goes at it to get Gaddafi, and now he's pulling out. So, okay, what does the recently declared pullout from Iraq the quick withdrawal from Libya and our involvement in Egypt all have in common. Well, each of our involvement in each of these cases has served the interest of those who are promoting Sharia. The Muslim Brotherhood is advanced in every one of these circumstances. You might remember when the uprising in Egypt and Libya were developing, I felt strongly that those dictators needed to go. Why we prop up these dictators thinking that they are going to provide for us a wall of defense for our liberties is beyond me. I mean, think about it. I've never felt comfortable with that strategy. The old better the devil you know line, that doesn't work on me. I say better no devil at all. Don't give any devil place. Now, I like Bachman. I really do. She's beginning to fade right now out of the race, and that's, in my view, sad. I think she has some valuable input, some valuable insights, and some valuable influence to put on the table here for our interests as conservatives. But when it comes to Libya, she's partly right, but she's wrong in principle. Before we knew that Sharia was taking over Libya, she warned, I'll tell you what, I'll just quote from the article I picked up from Newsmax. Quote, Republican Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachman said on Fox News Sunday it was wrong for the United States to invade Libya and take out Muammar Gaddafi. Quote, I think it was wrong for the United States to go into Libya, end quote. The presidential hopeful said, quote, Barack Obama said we were going into Libya for humanitarian purposes, end quote. And then she goes on, a series of high-powered weapons that remains missing might fall into the wrong hands, she said. This is a very bad decision, she claimed, and it's created more instability in that region, not less, end quote. Now, she said that she agreed with Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham that, quote, the world certainly is better off without Gaddafi, end quote, but said the uncertainty of the next wave leadership presents as an element of danger. She goes on to say, we don't know who the next leader will be. And then she claims it could be a radical element. Turns out she was right. And then she throws this line out there, quote, we knew who the devil was that was running. We don't know that next one. That's clumsy phrasing, but you know, better the devil you know. And I don't agree with that approach. I don't care what sort of pragmatist you might be, a liberal pragmatist or a conservative one. Principles matter. And in the long run, it's like George Washington warned us, in the long run, if you use evil as a defense for good, the evil will turn on you and bite you every time. If you have a mustard seed-sized heart with any sort of operating conscience, you must see that supporting dictators who oppress the people, depriving them of their liberty as a strategy to support our liberty here, is just flat wrong in principle. And it's bad strategy. Both sides have used this approach. I mean, you know, libs, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, however you want to divide it up. And it has proved to be a failed policy, and it ought to be abandoned. It does nothing but work ill will. The fact that it is obviously wrong is part of what makes it so weak and why it ultimately fails and serves the interests of our enemies. It does greater damage in the end. How can America boast that we are all about liberty while we prop up tyrants? So I'm all for breaking the iron grip of oppressors on the necks of the people. However, I noticed something. You might remember this in Egypt especially. Do you remember when the reports were coming in that the Muslim Brotherhood was staying out of it? We were receiving intel that they were not prepared for what erupted, kind of caught them off guard. And for a while, they just watched from the sidelines. While the Muslim Brotherhood was studying the situation and trying to, you know, think of the best way to take advantage of the uprising to further their purpose, Obama waffled. You might remember that. I get something called the Debka file report and a few other resources that allow me. Sometimes they get a little deeper insight into what's going down on the ground in many of these situations around the world, missionaries and so on who send reports and so on. At first... And look, the majority of those, or a large number of those who were protesting against Mubarak, had a genuine interest in democracy, or in liberty, I should say, in their sentiment and in their agenda. During the time that the Muslim Brotherhood was assessing the situation and angling for ways to co-opt the movement, Obama waffled. Is it a mere coincidence that right about the time that Obama committed to an oust Mubarak policy, is about the same time the Muslim Brotherhood began to show organized presence in the riots and to exert a leadership role? And is it mere coincidence that now Egypt is moving into the clutches of Sharia oppressors? Now you decide. Look at Libya. Same thing. At first, those rising in protest against Gaddafi were pro-democracy revolutionaries who wanted genuine liberty. Obama waffled in his support of the revolutionaries and then suddenly got focused and committed and then sent in our military to support it. Well, of course, Soros gave him the go-ahead. And I did a whole show on that. I've got time to revisit those things. But Gaddafi's dead, right? And that's a good thing, right? More on that in a minute, by the way. Have you seen the pathetic clip of the reporter mourning the death of that butcher? I know. We're not going to go out dancing in the streets rejoicing at the calamity of our enemies. But, anyway, I'll get back to this. But there is an important transitional period following the ouster of a tyrannical regime, is there not? Doesn't it take some time to kind of tool up and establish a foundation for liberty? And won't that need some support and protection from those who are contrary or who are against the principles of liberty? You know, like in Iraq. Now, we could not simply disappear after we won the war there. The Iranian Sharia oppressors would have moved in and taken over immediately. And you would never have seen the purple finger salute. America would have gotten the middle finger salute. You know, the one we're getting from Libya and apparently from Afghanistan. So Libya has fallen to the Sharia oppressors. Now, about Iraq. Is it not interesting that we are scheduled to pull out at a time when Iran has very much enhanced its influence in that country and really is poised to move in and take political control of Iraq? Now, here's this from Washington Times. Quote, President Obama's decision to pull all U.S. forces out of Iraq by December 31 is an absolute disaster that puts the burgeoning democracy at risk of an Iranian strangling, said an architect of the 2007 troop surge that turned around a losing war. That's General John King, by the way, who persuaded natural-born, constitutionally qualified President GW to go with the surge strategy. Remember that? Which ultimately secured and established our victory in Iraq. However, later, this now retired general told Petraeus, quote, we've won the war in Iraq, and we're now losing the peace, end quote. He has warned that U.S. troops will be vacating Iraq at a time when neither Baghdad's counterterrorism skills nor its abilities to protect against invasion are at levels needed to fully protect the country, say analysts long involved in the nearly 9-year war. Anyway, I'm not sure how that was written, but we should be staying there to strengthen that democracy, to let them get the kind of political gains they need to get, and to keep Iranians away from strangling the liberty out of that country. At least that's what those who know are saying to us, but Obama's not listening to them. He's listening to polls and other things. Leading Republicans share General Keane's criticism of the withdrawal, by the way. Senator John McCain was not one of my favorites, but he called the move a serious mistake. In fact, he said, quote, I'm very, very concerned about increased Iranian influence in Iraq, end quote. And that's the senior Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Anyway, Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican, said Obama made a dangerous decision that ignored U.S. military recommendations to keep some troops in Iraq next year. So, you know, he's got his finger to the wind, checking polls. Or is that what it is? Or is there a possibility there's something a little more sinister going on here? Has he got the word that Iran's ready? Let's wrap up segment number one. I really like what I'm hearing from Kane. The question remaining is whether he can handle the foreign policy side of the job, as well as he has demonstrated, it seems to me, the acumen necessary to deal with the domestic issues we face. Well, personally, I think Kane is able, he'll have to do OJT, on-the-job training, just like every president has. But I believe he has the sharps, I believe he has the skills and the abilities to do it. I believe he'll choose some excellent men as his advisors. I certainly would hope so. And I think he's able to grow into the job. And when it comes to foreign policy, in fact, I think he has just the sort of core values and instincts that we need right now. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth. then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
Search me, O God, and know.
Call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Warning, Pastor Scheinbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheinbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Happy birthday, Lady Liberty, 125 years old today. And by the way, I'm preparing the show here on October 28th for this weekend and next week. I can't think of the reporter's name. I believe he works on CNN or for CNN. He did a piece they're rolling out there over and over and over again, lamenting the execution of Gaddafi. Let's recap Gaddafi's crimes, shall we? He massacred over 1,200 political dissidents in 1996. A bodyguard of one of his sons shot dead 50 spectators at or near a sports center near the Libyan capital. What was that about? They were unarmed. To terrorize those who might oppose him, well, he set up gallows in the streets throughout the city and around the country and on the campuses of the universities. You know, kind of a warning of what would happen if they try to turn on him. What is that about? During the recent uprising, he attempted to intimidate the revolutionaries by showing TV depictions of bodies laying on the ground, hands bound as if dead, saying that this is going to happen to you if you continue. In 1981, he announced a cleansing of dissidents in the country, and he set about to kill, burn out, kidnap, and torture political opponents. And of course, we all remember the Lockerbie bombing, for which he was a key person responsible for that, and the nightclub bombing in Berlin. And on top of all that, he is well known for supporting terrorist organizations around the world financially and with materiel. He took power in 1969. He set about to rob the people of their property rights, to take away their wealth and away their guns, by the way. And anyway, he's dead now. And some seem to be working hard to call America to mourning, in the mourning for his passing, as if it's, you know, some sad thing, or some loss to the world. You got to be kidding me, you know. Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. You know, as if the death of such a heinous murderer is a loss to the world. A lot of Christians get confused with this, Because there is a clear call in the scripture to us to love our enemies and to do good to those who despitefully use us, and so on. And that's very important, but it's terribly misunderstood. Also, there's a clear injunction against us rejoicing at the fall of our enemies. For example, in Proverbs 24:17, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." Now, to surprise you, I don't have time to go into great detail here, but there is a distinction between the wicked and our enemy. Not everybody who stands on the other side of us in a conflict where it's their life or ours in a battle between governments or whatever, that person over there on the other side isn't necessarily a wicked individual, even though he's standing there as my enemy. And there's a distinction to be made between the enemy in a generic sense and the wicked in a specific sense. Indeed, we're not to give the world the spectacle of the Iranians gathering in the streets on 9/11, shouting Allah Akbar, death to America, burning the American flag, dancing in the streets when we were bleeding from the hit by Islamic terrorists coming from Al-Qaeda and attacking us. On the other hand, neither do we mourn the death of such despots. For the same scripture also says, quote, "When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting." Where our enemies fall or stumble, we don't gloat or take pleasure in it any more than God himself, who says plainly he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And yet, when wickedness is defeated and when the wicked perish, when divine vengeance is meted out against evil, when righteousness and liberty are vindicated against evil and tyranny, even when Almighty God uses the sword, he's invested in the hands of men to mete it out. Well, the Bible says there's shouting for freedom, for liberty. When the oppressor is broken, there's joy. Alas, but in Libya, that joy is to be short-lived, for they have traded one oppressor for a new one that is even more tyrannical. Oh, Libya, Egypt, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, liberty weeps for thee. You fear liberty and trust in oppression. You know what? We're also falling into this evil. Better pay attention, because more and more Americans are beginning to think that oppressive government is the way to have their needs met and a way to have happiness. They desire to use government like a robber would use a gun and set it to the heads of the so-called rich, whom they envy, and who could stand before envy. And being envious of their property and wealth, they want to take it by force. You thieves, you robbers, God will reward you for your thievery. Listen, he will turn you over to the government you think to manipulate and make your private bully, your private mafia, your knee breakers, to take from those who have labored industriously together, you're going to put it in a bag with holes. It will not serve you. You will then be enslaved by the very government you have used to violate the rights and property of others. Liberty will die. She has stood for 125 years at New York Harbor, facing southeast, by the way, looking out over the harbor, welcoming those coming in, and yet positioned so that she can keep America in the corner of her eye. And you might notice what appears to be a tear forming there. "I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march. Now you let me know if you see that they are on. Call my toll-free number at 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you see the lights are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying. Or you could call and say lights off and then hang up if you're in a hurry. For my podcast audience, I understand we have like 10,200 and some change persons who receive this show through our podcast outreach. We appreciate you very much. Contact me on my email. That's probably the easiest way, because many of you are out in other places of the world. Most of them from America, however, and you who are in America, you can call me at 1-888-770-8000. Tell me you're a podcaster. A podcast listener. I appreciate that. Give me your input. Talk to me. I do use some excerpts from callers from time to time on the show. and I would appreciate hearing from you. Call 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. If you want to talk to me, tell me you want to, and I'll call you back, usually within about 24 hours. It depends on when I get the call and where I'm at in the world. I do a lot of traveling. In any event, those of you who are from other lands, other countries, or within the United States, and you would prefer to email me, that's fine. I read all my emails, by the way, and respond to all my email that I receive. So you can reach us by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see a Contact Us button. Click it. You'll see a form there, lights on or lights off, and you can leave a message. Look forward to hearing from you. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast set.
Call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Preserve me, O God.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. To make a donation, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail your gift to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.